you do when you've done all you can? Seems like it's never enough. What do you say when your friends turn away? You're alone, all alone. Tell me, what do you give when you're giving your all? Seems like you can't make it through. Well, you just stand when there's nothing left to do. You just stand once the Lord see you through. After you've done all you can, you just stand. Tell me, how do you handle the gift of your past? Tell me, how do you deal with the shame? And how can you smile when your heart has been broken, filled with pain? Tell me, what do you give when you're giving your all? Seems like you can't make it through. You just stand when there's nothing left to do. You stand once the Lord see you through. Y'all gonna help me, choir. After you've done all you can. After you've done all you can. After you've done all you can. You just stand. After you gone through the hurt, I heard what you said. After you gone through the pain, when friends walked away, all you have to do is stand, watch God see you through. After you've done all you can, You just stand. Father God, now we come at this preaching moment. Would you give me preaching power? Lord, you know my condition. You know I preached this sermon out of hurt. Stand up in me. I need you. And I'll be so careful to give you the praise. It's in the name of Jesus we pray, amen. I said it the last time I was here, I said again, your very presence ought to pump you to praise him. He didn't have to wake you, but he did. Be seated, allow me, since I have the mic, I want to honor our pastor. Now, what you don't know is he's celebrating 25 years next Sunday. But every time he celebrates, I celebrate. What you don't know, in 1998, February the 14th, I preached my first sermon. 2 months later, I preached for Pastor Joshua across the street. When you learn how to honor the man of God, God will honor you. When you celebrate somebody else's blessing, God will honor you. And as quiet as it's kept, I celebrate him because he celebrated me. He saw something in me. I've been preaching over 21 years on Wednesday night. And I thank God that he saw something in me. Now I'm ready to preach. Psalms 133. Verse 1, I tried to finish on Wednesday. I'm bringing Wednesday night to Sunday morning. How many know what stale bread for one is fresh for another? Just one verse. It says, behold, y'all read with me. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And I want to talk this morning about it's good to be here. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I see God put you on his wake up list too. We need to be more grateful for just being in the land of the living. Today is September the 1st. We were able to flip the calendar to a brand new month. Like Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration, we ought to declare it's just good to be here. We live in a day and time where we need to celebrate every moment. Somebody can look and say just like me, Lord, you brought me, help me this morning, a mighty long way. I could have been dead. Y'all gonna help me? Sleeping in my grave. But Lord, you brought me a mighty long way. Somebody else can say, if it had not been for the Lord. Oh, I'm feeling something already on my side. Where would I be? That ought to be your testimony. And so on Wednesday night, I set this text up, and it really was, I thought, a message on unity. But when I looked closer, David was really celebrating just the concept it was good to come to church. It ought to be somebody here this morning. You ought to be glad just to be in the number. One more time. This message, my brothers and sisters, really has been birthed out of pain. And what happened last Wednesday, Pastor Joshua, Sister Joshua, few ministers went with Pastor Joshua for the funeral of Ozella Smith. She was 95 years old, and I had the opportunity to visit her again and again and again. But prior to the week before, I got a text, and the text said that she had fallen, she was going to have surgery. And so I talked to Sister Gilbert, and after the surgery, they moved her to rehab. And so I went to see her on last Thursday at rehab in McKinney, and while I was coming in the door, the grandson was coming in the door, and he was bringing her some changing clothes. Just stay with me. we sat there and we talked, and I had her laughing. She said, "Where's your wife?" I said, "Where's my wife? Somebody got to work. I'm here to see you." Everybody was laughing in the room, and Sister Gilbert told me, she said, "Well, Ms. Devon, I'm going on vacation. Would you take care of my mother?" I said, "Oh, yeah, I'll come back and see her next week. I'll be back. Just go ahead, go on and enjoy yourself." That's around 3:30. I went out to eat with friends from Arkansas, and we were eating around 7 o'clock. Sister Gilbert called me, said, "Minister Vaughn, Mama gone." I said, "What you mean, Mama gone? We were just sitting there laughing and talking." How many know that life is filled with swift transition? We used to say here today and gone tomorrow, but we can be here today and gone today. And I've been sent by here to remind somebody, you ought to be thankful that you are here today. And so I've been to school for theology, but when I want to go deeper, I go to neology. And without any commentary, this one verse talks about good times. It talks about happy times. It talks about pleasant time. It really is a message about unity. It talks about the coming together. And since we're at the 11 o'clock hour, I'm not going to take all the time to do our iconoclastic homiletical exegesis of the pericope of this message. I'm simply going to give you the BTU version. Matthew Henry suggests that David was concerned because he had many wives and children. Another commentary suggests that, no, David was dealing with different herdsmen, and they were having some conflict. Regardless of what commentary you use, we need to see that David was really concerned about this blended issue. I'm preaching in 2019. We got some blended issues in our sanctuary. We got some blended families right here. And just like we have a call for unity then, we have a call for unity today. In 1968, Jackie DeShawn said this, "What the world needs now, love we love, it's the only thing that there's." Yeah. That's what he said in 1968. But we need love today. Tell somebody we need love today. We live in a time it's not safe to go to Walmart. We're living in a time it's not safe to go to Vegas. It used to be what happened in Vegas, stay in Vegas, but you can go to Vegas and get shot and stay in Vegas. Somebody get that on the way home. And because we live in a time where life is changing so fast, I've been sent by here this morning to encourage somebody that even though things are not perfect, we need to celebrate things being as well as they are. We need to plan our celebration, because problems will schedule themselves. Let me see. Congress, they told me to parachute into the text. Can I go deeper? Verse 1 says, there is blessedness in being there. Verse 2 said, it's the explanation. Verse 3 says, it's the sanctification. All of the declarative comes together simply saying that it is a good condition. Anytime we have a good condition, then we need to surmise that God is good. I'm really preaching better than y'all saying amen. Do anybody here know that God is good? Tony Garrett sings a song, says, "For my good, all things are working for my good." Not only are they working for my good, it's intentional that he's doing some things for me. Now, that's the summation of Psalms 31 and 1. But allow me at least a few minutes to walk the text. Why do I need to walk the text? Because preaching will bring you out of the world, but teaching will keep the world out of you. Can I walk the text? If I walk the text, the first thing I see is what? Behold. Look at the text. What does it say? It says, behold. Behold simply means to pay attention to. It's to give observation. It really is to shine the light on the subject. That's what you do. Every time you wake up, you ought to behold. Because the idea is that God have allowed you to see another day. So David says, behold. What is he trying to indicate? He wants to give us an opportunity to take inventory. Pastor Joshua, if he was preaching, say, I got at least 5 reasons. Y'all know what they are? He woke you up this morning. He woke you up this morning. Preach, Josh. He woke you up this morning. He woke you up this morning. He woke you up this morning. Somebody ought to be glad that he woke you up this morning. Come here, David. David says in Psalm 104, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. So first thing you ought to do every time you get up, you ought to say, thank you, Lord. Second thing you ought to do, you ought to do a pinch test. Like silly in the color purple, you need to say, I may be ugly. U-G-L-Y, you got to love yourself. But I am here. And thirdly, you ought to do a breath test. Every time you breathe, Psalms 150 say, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. So the first thing I see, behold. That's number one, right? What's the second thing? He says, how good. Tell somebody it's good. Tell them it's good. Too many believers look at the glass half empty rather than half full. Reality of it is there is some good in the worst of us. And there is some bad in the best of us. Genesis 1:31 said, and God saw everything that he made. Look what the next word is. He says, and behold, there go that word again, it is good. Can I tell you this morning on September the 1st, just because everything is not going according to your plan, God is still good. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it the issues of life. One of the benefits of coming to worship, it cleanses the heart. So the text reminds us that God is good. Jeremiah 29:11, you know it. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, said the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to do you an expected end. Tell somebody, God got plans for me. Now, you got to get this. What you had in mind is not always God's plan. Say that again, Vaughn. What you had in mind is not always God's plan. Some folks want God to serve them like a genie in the bottle. But God has set it up that he will take care of your needs. But you got to learn how to depend on him. So he has to have us to behold, and then secondly, to look for the good. But thirdly, what's next? It says how pleasant. Pleasant means loving, charming, attractive. Yesterday, I gave myself a pleasant challenge. I have problems drinking sodas. I drink KFC on Monday night, free soda. I drink Popeye's Tuesday night, special. It's a free soda. Now Grady's got a Wednesday special. It's got a free soda. So I have trouble trying to deal with drinking these sodas. So I gave myself a pleasant challenge on yesterday. I challenged myself on yesterday to go the rest of the whole month without drinking a soda. Somebody get that. That's You got to look for pleasantness. See, you got to look for pleasantness. It is those good things. And I wake up every morning for 36 years, I wake up to something so pleasant. See, that's my bonus for Vicky. See, y'all get that. But finally, he says, brethren, that we dwell together in unity. That's the call here, that not only do we come together, but we come together in unity. Hebrews 10 and 25 says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exalting one another. My granddaughter Cadence is back there. Cadence is 3, but she turns 4 on today. And on Wednesday, she was at the house, and we getting ready to come to Wednesday night, and I tried to leave without her. She said, Papa, I'm going to church with you. I say, Cadence, it is church. She say, Papa, you know I'm country. She's 4 years old today. But we are going to church to be in the number. So hear what he says in our text. He uses a word. He says, brethren. Y'all see it? In the Bible, Pastor Joshua, you'll find the word recorded some 529 times. Genesis 42 and 8, and Joseph knew his brethren, and they knew not him. 1 John 3 and 13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Go on to the next verse. We know that we have passed from death unto life if we have love for the brethren. Thessalonians 5 and 25, brethren, pray for us. Hebrews 13 and 1, let brethren continue in love. The Bible says that we are all one flesh, and we ought to be about loving the brothers. In 1971, this group said, trash man didn't get the trash today. Why? Because he want more pay. Buses on strike, gonna raise the fare so he can help pollute the air. But that's what makes the world go round. The earth send down a carousel. People makes the world go. Yeah. He was talking about it's the people. See, y'all ain't always been saved. Yeah. The people makes the world go round, but it's also people that can mess up some stuff. So the challenge is to dwell together. There are some benefits when we can come together. The church can be good for you, and you can be good for the church. There's a special fit when we learn how to get along in the body of Christ. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. In other words, we have the same master. We have the same hope. We are looking forward to the same heaven. The reality of it is we deal with the same trials and the same temptations, and problems does not escape any of us. But anytime there's a gathering of God's people, the record is we're not going to always be on one accord. Because when they gathered together, there was a Judas. When they gathered together, it's always going to be somebody to start stuff. When they gathered together, even Job says, when the sons of God got together, there showed up Satan. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, be not dismayed. Whatever betide you, God will take care of you. Wouldn't it be a better church if all of the Urshas knew how to get along? Wouldn't it be a better church if all the choir members knew how to get along? Wouldn't it be a better church if all of the ministers knew how to get along? Wouldn't our world be better if there was only one fraternity? There was no more Greeks, no more AKA, no more Deltas. We had just one fraternity. And the name of that fraternity was Children of the Most High God. Wouldn't we have a better world if we just had one person that we look to? And I know we have a president that says he's the chosen one, but I stand by here to tell you he is not the one. And we need to pray for the president, because the Bible says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. So nobody is in office unless the Lord allow them. Well, I got to get out of here, but I do have to challenge you, every believer. God has so equipped you to be useful in the body. That's why you need to come together, because there's somebody that'll never hear me preach, but because you heard the message, you're gonna tell them about the goodness of the Lord. And you need to be in that place where God can use you. Besides, you are not the message. You are just the messenger. Well, I'm closing my Bible. I'm trying to get out of here. I thought I was through with the text, but I read verse 3, and verse 3 says, for the Lord commanded blessings forevermore. Anybody here want to be blessed? As I try to get out of here, Philippians 4 and 13 says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. What is telling us that if we are going to do great things, it's all about Jesus. And nobody is greater. Nobody can heal you. Nobody can seal you like Jesus. But Sean Mitchell said, I searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody can regulate my mind. Nobody can dry my tears. Nobody can open doors. Nobody can close doors. Nobody can calm my nerves. Nobody provide my needs. Nobody to take care of my chaotic situation. Nobody empowers me to elevate over my element. Nobody greater that raised me, that hold me, that seal me, that feel me. Nobody greater. Revelations 27 and 1, the last book of the last verse in the Bible, simply says, the grace of our Lord and Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. I'm out of here, but anybody here know there's nothing like God's grace? Oh, y'all not saying nothing in the balcony, but anybody can testify it was God's grace that brought you. It was God's grace that taught you. It was God's grace that never left me. It was God's grace that kept me. Anybody here know anything about God's grace? I'm through looking at my notes now, but I feel a preach coming on. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went down in a fiery furnace. They threw him in the fiery furnace, and somebody said, Jesus showed up and took the heat out of the flame. But that's not correct, because the flame killed the people that put them in. I want to suggest that when Jesus showed up, the fire stayed hot, but God sent his grace with Jesus. Anybody here ever been in a fiery situation and you did not get burned up because God's grace kept you? It was at the Red Sea. Moses was at the Red Sea. In front of him, Gwen, mountains on both sides, Pharaoh's army behind him, and he said, stretch forth your rod. I believe God's grace showed up and made the water depart. Anybody here can testify that you almost drowned, but God's grace kept you up. I'm out of here. I got to leave y'all, but I was feeling bad last week because of all the situations that I had gone through. I was feeling dejected and I did not know what to do. So what I did on Friday morning, I got up and went to my kitchen table like I always do to prepare for Wednesday night. And when I went to my kitchen table, I said, Lord, could you encourage me, because I got to preach. And when I went to my kitchen table, I looked at the sink, and I saw at the sink, I saw it was some dung. And when I looked at the dung, the Spirit said to me, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I looked in the kitchen and I discovered there was some more detergent. It's called Joy. And I looked at that Joy and I saw that J. It reminded me of Jesus. I looked at that Y. It reminded me of you. I looked at that O. It reminded me of zero. And when nothing comes between Jesus and you, you ought to have joy. I had joy. And I went to the medicine cabinet. And when I did, I pulled out some honey. And the honey says to me, don't you know that every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before? I went to that cabinet one more time and I found some hot sauce, and the hot sauce reminded me he saved my soul from a burning hell. I was feeling bad and I looked and saw some lemons, and when I saw the lemons, it reminded me sometimes you have to take lemons and make lemonade. I start to feel better, but the washroom got my attention. And when I went in the washroom, I saw on the washing machine it had this thing called oil, and my mind quickly ran to say, Jesus paid it all. To him I owe. I was feeling pretty good then, Claire. I was feeling pretty good then. And as I went back to my seat, the Holy Spirit said, what day is it? I said, I know it's Friday. He said, well, you know what happened on Friday, don't you? I said, what happened on Friday? He said, on Friday, that's the day I died. What happened on Friday? On Friday, they took me to a cross and they crucified me. I hung my head in the locks of my shoulders and I died on Friday, but I stayed in the grave to Saturday. I stayed in the grave on Sunday. What happened on Sunday? On Sunday, I got up from the grave, and because I got up on Sunday, you ought to have a shout, because he got up. I can shout about it. I can tell the world about it. There you are. Thank you.